Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht alongside you here for the ride. Paul Savage is in for Tommy today. Jad Chambers driving this ship for us, manning that IHOP hotline. We're glad to have you with us on a midweek edition. Katie Woods with the NBC World Series. They've got a special event with the regular festivities coming this year. We'll talk to her in a little while about what they have going on for a few minutes. Spend a little time there. Looking forward to that conversation. It's busy, an interesting time in the sports world. The NBA playoffs begin with the play-in. Is the Golden State dynasty dead as they lose to the Kings last night? The Lakers survive it. We can get into that in just a little bit, but we got a lot to discuss today here on the show. Paul, we've got college football talk, which you and I always love to do. Some interesting developments as, you know, we look ahead maybe to a redoing of things at some point down the line in college football. So we can get into that a little bit. The numbers are in for the WNBA draft. Probably won't surprise you that they were very high. So we'll take a look at that and look at, you know, rookie salaries are back in the news with the WNBA, of course, now with Caitlin Clark in there. So we can take a peek at that as well. It's interesting, of course, it always is, to see where things sit with, what women are paid. And of course, we have this scenario now this year where, I mean, my goodness, Caitlin Clark has totally transformed everything. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. We've got so much to come here, Paul. We got Royals baseball. They were rained out yesterday. We'll get into that. Tell you what the latest is there. There's a sort of a, you know, just a smattering of things that we've got to get, you know, get off our chest today. Paul, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How you doing, big boy? It's good to be back on the show. And I can tell you right now, it's really interesting. All the stories, the potential stories that we're going to talk about today, I find fascinating. And I know some of them. And, of course, I chuckle when you use the word we were into the NBA playoffs. Well, we're not into the playoffs
not quite
yet. Their play ends, and I don't know if that's a significant difference. But you watched, if you watched any of those games last night, it's obvious that nobody that's winning it. And tonight's play ends also. Let's not forget the Hawks and the Bulls.
Yeah, we'll forget tonight. Let's be real. Last night was the star-studded night, and then tonight you've got, you know, Heat Sixers. They're good games.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Hawks Bulls, but you had the aging, teams in action last night.
And none of these teams are going to win an NBA championship. I think we can safely say that none of these teams are going to win the whole thing. So with that being said, but it's going to be a fascinating playoffs. You know what I like? And I don't even know if you want to get into the NBA playoffs yet, but when you do, I'm finding it fascinating. We're talking about teams that we don't talk about a lot as potential champions. And I kind of like that, Jacob. I'm going to tell you, it's kind of fun to talk about. I'm going to throw out an example, the Oklahoma Cities of the world. You know, they're getting some love on this thing.
They're the one seed.
They're getting some love. And so, you know, why not? I mean, but anyway, with that being said, it's going to be an interesting play. This isn't going to be the Warriors. This isn't going to be the Lakers. This isn't going to be, the teams that we think it's not going to be the Heat. It's not going to be some of the teams that we've grown accustomed to seeing in the championship games or, eventually winning an NBA championship. It's going to be somebody different. It's going to be somebody that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, we had no idea that they'd be where they are.
Well, the Nuggets are the heavy favorite, so it won't be if it's the
Nuggets. No, but I mean, so, you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I'm, look, listen, I'm interested. I'm intrigued by the Thunder and if this, you know, can translate into the postseason.
Why not?
We don't know that yet. One of the best players in the world, Luka Doncic, is going to get another shot at a postseason, try to get something done. So there's a lot of intrigue there. We'll get into. I'm with you, though. The play-ins don't do a lot for me, but, you know, I think most, you know, avid NBA people would tell you that they like them. At least that's the sense I get. So that's coming. Paul, I sent you this yesterday. And by the way, you can always watch. It took us just an extra second. My computer crashed. But we've got up our video stream now on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. So that's available there for you, too. If you can't call into the show, you can always leave us your comments on any of those. We get those fed right to us. We can get those out over the air and onto the screen here. So we appreciate everybody that watches us as well as listens to us every day here on Sports Daily. I sent you this yesterday, Paul, and it's interesting. So we've talked, maybe it was last week when you were in or a couple of weeks ago, you know, the reporting began that there are conversations happening among power players about a breakoff of college football. Now, that shouldn't surprise anybody. We've been talking about that general idea for 2 years now. We've seen a lot of realignment. You know, this would dissolve some of that, certainly, at least from a football perspective, to come up with some super league. So yesterday, Sportico, I guess, got their hands on, it sounds like, some sort of like slide from a presentation that was supposed to be private that laid out a 70-team Super League, which is made up of seven sort of directional divisions, and then another 10 teams that would be able to sort of come in and out, right, by relegation. If you pay attention to soccer, you basically, if you're really bad, you get bumped out. And if you get bumped out, you have an opportunity at some point to play your way back in. Now, just to give people some perspective on, you know, what group that might include under this proposed league, you know, Boise State would be at the top end of that. Liberty, who we've seen have a lot of success. But then there's a lot of teams, you know, Toledo, Tulane, UTSA, that maybe it's like, okay, we could live with that, right? Like, we might be able to live with that. I don't see a team like San Diego State on here, so I'm assuming they'd be. So there'd be some good teams in there that can play their way in. But as an example, there it is. As another example, Paul, it would have, for instance, Kansas and Kansas State in a league called the Plains, with BYU, Colorado, Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Utah, Wisconsin, which would be a lot of fun. I think a lot of people would like to see Missouri get mixed in there, but you never know. Who knows how that would actually shake out. But it would be interesting. You know, these conversations are so preliminary because there would be so much that has to change, right? You've got these, you know, television deals that have to be played out. Dennis Dodd, in commentary on that, you know, graphic or whatever, that idea being released, said, you know, most of the indications are that the power players would like it not to be 80, but far smaller, the 34 or whatever we've heard about. And, you know, I think that's a dangerous proposition. I don't think that's a good idea to go that small. I think you have to basically take what's in the Power Four right now and find a way for them all to still compete for the title, and you can do it otherwise however it is that you'd want to. Again, these are just ideas, Paul. We know it's way more complicated than that. How do you have a level playing field in NIL, in facilities and everything else? Some of these schools may not want something like this. They may be perfectly content to say, no. Like, why don't we just stick around in our leagues as they currently consist? Because with fewer teams and more like teams with us, we could spend more, we could have more advantageous rules than if we're trying to find a level playing field among 80 teams. So I don't know where all of this lands. I do, though. I am warming to the idea, Paul. If it's going to break away from the NCAA, which seems inevitable, of this relegation thing among what would basically be the FCS now, right? That second tier, 1AA, for those of us who still think of it that way. Having everybody else in some sort of relegation like that, I think would be interesting. I think it would be okay. I think it would be fine. I think it could work. I think it could work, but there's so much money involved. I don't know how you would ever govern it, because that's sort of the NCAA's problem now, right? How do you govern and try to find Alabama and Oregon State playing under the same rules? There's such a difference in those schools now. We see it in other pro sports. They're able to get it done. But this is interesting, and it's just furthering this idea of the big Super League, Paul.
Well, there's some good things about this that I kind of like, and that is it does give the opportunity to some of the lesser leagues, members of the lesser leagues. I like the rotation. By the way, that division is called the Underleague Division. Underleague. Jamie Christmas, can't you come up with a better name than the Underleague Division? But anyway, you get my point. I like the fact that they're being included. There's eight teams listed, and you named off a few of them, and it will rotate, because that under league division would include, I'm just guessing off the top of my head, 30, 40, maybe more, maybe a few more teams than that could potentially be in the top.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm guessing it would be basically the remainder of what currently sits in the FCS. I don't know how you determine who gets in, who gets out. But you know what it does, Paul?
What's that?
How often, now you're a huge football guy,
I love football.
You're a big football guy,
Well, sure,
Paul.
I think a lot of people are.
You're big a football consumer as there is on the planet.
I think so. I consume my share.
Now, be real with the audience here, Paul. How often are you watching FCS football?
Well, I don't.
Now,
I want to say quite
and that's
a bit.
Not,
I want to say quite,
let me rephrase. That's okay. Not fair, because it's not necessarily FCS. It's basically the non-power league. So it'd be
the
American.
That's a better
way is unfair.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me apologize.
That's no problem.
Because it's not FCS. Now, I don't know if some of the best of the FCS could get in this thing, which would be interesting.
Well, I
but,
knew what
okay,
you
let's
meant.
Say,
I knew what you meant, though.
Let's
I
say
got
it's non-power five, right?
Okay. All right.
How much American or Mountain West or whatever football are you watching on a regular basis?
Particularly if one of those teams that we consider is going to be one of the power members of the under division.
Yeah, if they have a chance at the playoffs, right, you might watch them.
Oh, I'm particularly going to watch them if they match up with a Power 5 conference team, like in a non-conference game.
Now, currently, right? Yeah, currently.
Let's
just say it's, you know, how likely would you be to watch Tulane play UTSA or Boise State play UNLV? How likely would you be under the current, like tomorrow, next season, would you be to watch those games?
I'm going to give you a truthful answer. I would watch it if there was no other football to watch. I'll put it that way. I mean, I would watch it.
I'll give you an even more honest, and I would not watch it.
Oh, you wouldn't watch it.
I wouldn't.
Well, I would.
No.
And now, am I going to watch?
Not unless if one of the teams had an NFL-type quarterback, or, you know, if it was late in the season and had playoff implications. But in the middle of October.
Right?
I'm not watching AAC football.
Well,
okay.
I was going to say, if there's nothing else, if there's no other games that, you know, and particularly if there's no football, because on an occasion you get a Friday night game and there's no competition with regards to, I mean, other than high school. And I don't like Friday college football games, by the way. I think we've talked about that. Well, I know it's coming, because it's a night of the week that you can get, you know, football on television. We understand. I like Friday nights for the high school kids. That's just me. But that's not going to be the way of the real world. But what I would watch those kind of games if there's probably nothing else to watch, because I'm going to watch the Big 12. I'm always fascinated with the SEC, the Big 12. Will I watch what is left of the Pac-12? I'm not sure what the Pac-12 is at this point. I don't even know who all's in it. I should rephrase that. I know who's in it. I don't know who's going to be in it at this point. We've got some ideas, but I probably wouldn't watch a lot of that. But I can't tell you that I watched a lot of Pac-12 football to start with. Not that much. I watched enough last year. We had conversations where I criticized USC's defense a lot last year, if you remember correctly. I said, this is a good football team offensively, but they can't stop the East High Blue Aces. And so it's one of those things where, you know, I'll watch these undercard games. If there's not a whole lot, I know it sounded flippant, and I know it sounded like I was trying to make a joke, but my point is, that we're getting to the point, not only are we doing this league.
It's not a joke.
We're going to have football.
It's honesty. We don't watch those games that often. Right. You might bet them. You might watch them if you bet them.
Right. But you're going to watch them, Jacob, because you're going to have a college football game on Tuesday.
I'm not talking about the future. Right, Paul.
I got you.
So
okay.
In the current state of things, I'm saying we don't really watch those games.
However, if there was
like a relegation factor in it, if you're playing to like try to get yourself up, I might watch that. Right? If on the line is your status in this league, if the loser of that game gets like kicked out for the next season or whatever it is, now you got my attention a little bit.
Right.
We love the playoffs. We love the playoffs.
You can't help yourself. Yeah.
That does, I think, add a little intrigue. Because and the hardest part about all of this is if you're a fan of those schools, you hate it, right? Because you feel like you're not playing. But what the elephant in the room has always been, if you're at Tulane or any of these schools,
right,
and I only use them as an example because they're in the American and we think about them, you don't have a chance to win a college football championship anyway.
No.
Like, you don't.
No.
Right? It's not college basketball, where it's a puncher's chance in every game. It's not college baseball, where, you know, we get teams all over the country, regardless of conference in the mix. It's college football. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard enough to even think of yourself as a contender if you're in a power conference. And the reality is, you know, you're kind of not, right? It's the same teams every year. So I think it's an interesting idea. I think that at least these powers that be, and we'll see how much power they actually have if the television networks are involved, at least these powers that be that are beginning to have these conversations and do these things are trying, Paul, to keep everybody involved. And that's what has always been important to me. Like, you have to at least continue to make this a product that appeals to people regionally. And because the danger is everyone tries to think of it as something nationally, but college football will never compete with the NFL that way. You're just not going to ever have something that we are watching no matter what, like we watch the NFL. And I feel like they think they can do that if they weed out the lower teams, but I think the opposite would happen. I think you'd have far less interest. And I've said this 100 times, you have to keep me interested in football that's being played in the SEC by, you know, making me think the teams I'm watching are going to be able to meet them in the postseason. If you took that away, boy, I'd be far less likely to watch those games.
I think you're right. And by the way, this Goliath setup that you're talking about, we live for those moments. I mean, you brought it up. I think it was you. I don't think it was Tommy that I did a show with not that long ago, within the last month, where we brought up Boise State and Oklahoma back, what was it, maybe 15 years ago?
It was one of the best college football games ever.
I had the time of my life, and that was so much fun. And watching Goliath be slain, and then the proposal at the back of the end zone by one of their players to his cheerleader girlfriend. I mean, it was like magic. And we live for those moments. The problem is we don't get many of those moments, do we? We don't get many of those moments. But you want to know something? There's hope for those moments. And where there's hope, it will eventually happen. And then it happens and we talk about it. But you got to give those teams a chance to slay Goliath. That's just what you got to do. If you want to be considered fair, if you want to have – and by the way, it's smart on behalf of this organization that's going to have – and I'm not even sure what the organization is called, it's going to manage these 80 teams or plus teams, because you've got to have the entire country involved in your league, in your idea, in what you're trying to do. And you've got to have everybody, and that means everybody's got to have a chance. You know, you go into August, everybody's got a chance. You go into December, not so many have a chance. But you had the chance, and that's what you got to have. I like the way this is being set up. I don't have a problem with it at all.
I'm encouraged by it, Paul.
But it still has. But I mean, the Big 12 will still be those kids will still be playing for a Big 12 championship. The Sun Belt. And by the way, you said, well, you know, nobody in the Sun Belt is going to have a chance to win a national championship game
in the current model.
In the current model, right now, and we all understand that those kids. that go to James Madison, those kids that go to Troy, those kids that go to Boise, those kids that go to whatever school it might be University of Texas, San Antonio, wherever they go understanding that they won't win a national championship. But you know what? You know what those schools give you if you win a championship? They give you darn nice rings. I have seen some of those conference championship rings from the WAC and those kind of, the Jostin representative here in Wichita showed me some of those sample rings of those football championship leagues. I'm telling you, Jacob, you're playing for a darn nice ring and you're playing for a championship. It's not a national championship, but you know how hard it is to win a Sun Belt championship? It's dang hard.
They're keeping everybody involved in these initial conversations.
Bingo. Thank you.
And that's,
thank you.
That's what matters. We'll see. I mean, we're far way off. TV deals have to expire.
Well,
this is nothing that's going to happen anytime soon. But it's interesting to see the beginning conversations.
It is.
You can chime in on the IHOP hotline. 869-1240 is the number to call there. You can always listen to the show, by the way, if you're getting out of your car, if we're talking and you want to just download that Odyssey app, or you can go to odyssey.com. You can listen to us live that way. Jad podcasts the show if you miss anything. So you can always check us out. Free Odyssey app. We're going to come right back. It's in the news. It's the hot topic. Caitlin Clark, WNBA draft, big numbers. Contracts in the WNBA in the news again here. We'll begin to discuss that when we return on Sports Daily.
KFH. Go! Sports Daily is on KFH.
Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Always appreciate their support here on the program. Don't forget, Katie Woods of the NBC World Series going to join us in the next hour to talk just a little bit about an event they have coming up. So we'll have that for you. Paul, this is in the news. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here. Jad Chambers driving this thing. IHOP hotline open at 869-1240. So the WNBA draft has big numbers. We know that college basketball on the women's side had bigger numbers than ever before. We know that Iowa LSU was the highest rated basketball game in a long time on the women's side.
Yep.
Though there is no question that the sport is exploding, which is really cool to see. There's no question Caitlin Clark's impact on that. And other stars too. There have been, you know, a nice coming together of a lot of stars in women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark certainly at the forefront in her record-breaking season, attendance records, sellouts, all these things that have followed her. And it has clearly followed her into her first chapter of the WNBA, which is the draft, where everybody knew what was going to happen, but they had big numbers. You know, almost 3 million people watched the WNBA draft. So that has a lot of people now comparing things. And, you know, that there's a lot of people talking about rookie contracts. So Victor Wembanyama is, I believe, has a rookie salary of about $12 million. His number one overall pick last year. Caitlin Clark's WNBA rookie year base salary is going to be about $76,000.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The WNBA average salary right now, according to Fortune, is $113,000. The league's highest paid player makes about pretty close to $250,000 a year. The NBA average salary is much higher. It is, I'm just trying to find, but we know how ridiculous NBA salaries are, right, Paul? People are making upwards of $80 million a year. I believe the average last year, it was about $4.5 million in the NBA. It's a very high average salary compared to the other sports. So a lot of people are pointing out the inequity there and are upset about it. But I would also, in fairness for this conversation, point you to the fact that NBA viewership last year, according to the Sports Business Journal, averaged $1.62 million a game. The WNBA average viewership last year, which was up 21%, was a third of that, Paul. at 500,000 viewers per game. Attendance in the NBA average is right now just over 18,000 fans a game, 71% of which were sellouts. The average crowd, the average attendance in the WNBA, it's cited, is about 6,600 fans, so about a third of that. And that was up big time last year. So this is multi-layered, right? You can't, the WNBA is going to go out of business if it just starts paying players the way NBA players are paid, because it doesn't generate that sort of revenue. Now, when you look at this as an interesting point of, it looks like ratings and attendance for the WNBA versus the NBA, they're about a third from what I can find here quickly at just a quick search. Caitlin Clark's rookie salary is far, 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 far less than a third of what Victor Wembanyama will make. So in that sense, yeah, that might be unfair. The problem is you've had this, you know, last year what numbers I just cited from the WNBA were all up massive amounts, right? Like 20%. So if you go back to what's been building those rookie salaries versus back what's built NBA salaries, you know, it's not the same. As I'm watching highlights of a game last night between the Pelicans and Lakers in what looks like about a half-empty arena. Yeah. That's a playoff game.
Yeah, and that's a playoff
so
game.
The point of all of it is NBA players are so marketable and they're making money. The WNBA, I think, well, I have a lot of thoughts on this, Paul. I'm not sure that the WNBA will ever be as popular as women's college basketball, because you have the tournament aspect of it. You have college basketball fans on campuses and now which are growing on TV that love their college athletes. Is there room for another pro sports league for already sports consumers? I would contend probably not. I think the biggest challenge for the WNBA is we're all already routine driven in what we watch, right? We barely have room for what we already watch. Mm-hmm. So to ask us to take on another pro league is an interesting ask.
Right.
Whereas college basketball, it just sort of runs, you know, in tandem almost now. But I will say, what the WNBA could tap now, which we saw in college basketball last year through Caitlin Clark, is a totally different audience.
Ah,
right? The beauty of Caitlin Clark's rise and the elevation of the sport has been all the different people she has turned into sports fans in general that were not sports fans before, right? A lot of people that didn't care anything about sports. Men, women, mothers, daughters, especially the women, right? Like, you've got an untapped audience in a lot of ways. I cannot fathom the burden, Paul, that Caitlin Clark is going to continue to carry into now her professional career. Think about all the people that are going to be impacted based on what she does professionally. By the way, Caitlin Clark's rookie salary is not very much. She will make, I would bet you this right now on April 17th, Paul, that she will make well, I don't know how you ever figure the average endorsements for NBA players, but she's going to be up there with any male player in what she'll make in endorsements. Mm-hmm. Watch how big the inevitable shoe deal is about to be for Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. That's right. What I'll say.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
See these crazy shoe deals, these apparel companies, there is not a basketball player on the planet right now, man, woman, don't care. There is not a basketball player on the planet right now that will sell more shoes than Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. And watch how much she's about to get paid for that.
She's going to get paid. There's no question. And going to Indiana, by the way, is great for her because she's going to keep a lot of her endorsements in the region, a regional type endorsement that's going to continue, which is perfect for her. She's better off there than, say, Phoenix, which may or may not may move. I don't know. I'm not sure. But, you know, you talk about, you know, the 2.7, 2.8 million people that watched the draft. Guess
yeah,
who one of those
like
2.7 million was? Would you like to guess? It was me. I was one of them. However, yeah. Let me put it this way. I watched for three picks because after Caitlin Clark, I wanted to see where Reese would go. And I really thought she would go into top two or three, but she didn't. She went number seven. And I got tired of waiting, particularly because here's the other side of the coin, Jacob. I saw Caitlin Clark drafted. Yeah, expected. We knew it was going to happen. We all knew it was going to happen. It had already been, you know, said that it was going to happen. But I wasn't familiar with the number two pick and the number three pick. I'm not familiar with them. Just, you know, and it's not that I'm not following it. I guess I'm not following it. I did, and I they're famous.
Yeah, I mean, the number three pick was the best, you know, was the best player in the national championship game.
Sure. So I mean, I'm not familiar with.
You're not incorrect, Paul. Like I, so
you can't. Be, can you build a conference? Can you build a
Paul?
League
I think
on
you're
one
the.
Person?
I think you and I are good examples of this.
Okay.
We are sports fans in general.
Yes,
I don't
I believe
care
that's right.
what it is.
That's correct.
I don't care what it is. I love basketball. I love high school girls basketball. I love college women's basketball. I have never been a consumer of the WNBA. Uh-huh. I'm not a consumer of the NBA anymore.
Right. Right.
Much. I will be now that they're into their postseason.
I watch it more than I have in a long time. Really, I'm into it a little bit.
The point is, like, we're you know, our attention is shorter. We have less room for all of it. So I think, you know, what you see yesterday is this, you know, outrage, we can call it fake outrage, whatever it is, right? That, oh my goodness, can you believe this? I just can't believe it. And I'm like, really? You can't believe it? When was the last time you watched a WNBA game? Like, stop with the phony baloney. Look at me, how mad I can get about this. Should Caitlin Clark make more than $76,000 a year? Of course she should, and she will, right? But it's not always Caitlin Clark sitting there. It's not always Victor Wembanyama sitting there. Sometimes, like, every sport scales their rookie contracts, right? Every sport does that. So, you know, you go to the average WNBA salary, $115,000. The thing about Caitlin Clark that's going to always drive her... In the NBA, Paul, the league has been around enough and popular enough that salaries are based pretty solely, not completely, but mostly on ability, right? The WNBA isn't probably quite there yet. So Caitlin Clark, her salary, her earning potential is going to be tied to how much attention she brings to the game or to your team or how many tickets she sells you. You know, it's almost old school in that way, right? Like if you got a traveling show, right? And we're not talking sports or anything else, you're going to pay the most to the people who draw the biggest crowds. And Caitlin Clark has shown the crowds that she is drawing are unfathomable by comparison to her peers. So it's like, okay, well, there's that piece of it. And then there's the endorsement piece. As she's already made all this money, and she's about to make a ton more, I'm telling you, she's going to make a ton of money. Ton. Like, you can't even imagine it. That's Caitlin Clark's burden now to bear for women's basketball. And she bore it well, Paul, in college. I don't know if it's going to translate the same way. I'm curious. I can almost promise you that I will, even with Caitlin Clark in the WNBA, watch more women's college basketball next year than the WNBA, even with Caitlin Clark in it. Maybe that changes, and we'll see. I mean, I'll never make that proclamation until it happens and I see it. But the way that she has changed the game is, I mean, it's like, I don't even know what it's like, Paul, because you'd have to go so far back to compare it. Right? The way that she has drawn attention to it like never before. Mm-hmm. I mean, neither one of us know this answer. Is it Babe Ruth to baseball? It would be different than Michael Jordan to the NBA. Michael Jordan transformed things, but the NBA was already popular when he went into it.
That's right.
I honestly don't even know what to compare it to. I don't think you can, because you'd have to go so far back to what she has done for women's basketball. Does it suck that she's going to make $76,000? That's the rookie scale in the WNBA. the WNBA is growing in popularity. That's awesome. We all love that, right? But it hasn't been popular before. So what do you expect these teams to do? Go bankrupt? No, like, you got to give it time. Let Caitlin Clark's footprint expand what those salaries are. Because it will. If she goes into the WNBA and finds a ton of success and people are watching, it's going to help every player across. What did Dawn Staley say? She took extra time celebrating a national championship to thank Caitlin Clark for what she has done for the women's game. Let's see if she can do it at the pro level. It would be incredible if she does. I can't wait to see it if she does. WNBA draft, chapter one, Paul, record viewership.
Record.
So what do we think's going to happen?
Right.
Yeah, what do you think's going to happen now?
Well, we're going to tune in. She better not be a bust. Caitlin Clark better not
now,
be
a
bust.
Does everybody tune in? Maybe not, but a whole lot more people will, and an untapped audience will.
Well, they're going to have a
chance
to make an
impression.
I'm also
curious.
Yeah.
Another piece of it is I'm curious to see if her audience grows or shrinks being in college versus the pros. As somebody who loves college women's basketball, right, and is not a consumer at the pro level, outside of the Olympics I am. But, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see. I hope that she continues to be able to handle it well and it's not too much because, my goodness, we have not seen an athlete have to do something like this in a long, long time. And she's owned it so far. She's done a great job. And I cannot wait to see her. I guess I will tune in because I want to see if her game translates. And I want to see if she can do it against these awesome pros in the WNBA. But we'll see. You can chime in, 869-1240 on it. It will be fun. On the way out, Paul, let's give away some HTO.
Let's do it.
Let's give away some iced tea. More than 25 flavors. You've got Strawberry Passion is the new seasonal flavor. I'll tell you this, too, on the tea. We're taking a lot of these orders, my wife, and it's our business, full disclosure. Taking a lot of orders for teachers' lounges. Teachers' Appreciation Week is coming up. A lot of people are getting gallon orders, gallons, ice cups, and they'll just deliver them to the teachers' lounge. They'll come pick them up and take them to the teachers' lounge for that week, and they can just kind of have a tea party. But anyway, you can get a free tea card on us. Come in, try it, see what you think. That's good in either Wichita location, east or west, or in Derby. You can also get a free Rain coffee card, which is good for any coffee drink. That's available in Derby in East Wichita. Good luck. We'll do that for the first caller right now to the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. We'll come back. A lot to get to today on Sports Daily. Don't go away. Welcome back in, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We've got interesting golf weather. Speaking of Crestview Country Club, a couple courses out there you can play, north and south. Get out there, check it out. All kinds of memberships that they offer that you can play as much or as little golf as you want. Lots of different options for you out there. Paul, it's that time of year to play golf. Today will actually be as nice. You get the wet, you get the sunshine, you get the temperatures, you don't have the wind. Might be a nice day to get out there. I'll tell you something I like about, golf at Crestview is I don't have to play 18 holes because I don't have time to play 18 holes. And I don't have to feel bad about it. I can just jump out there, play as many holes as I want to. You in golf mode yet? How much golf do you play, Paul?
Well, no, I used to play a lot. As a matter of fact, I lived on a golf course for 30 years, but I just never really had. I'm a busy guy. You got to have considerations for a lot, allowing your time to what you have. And I couldn't get enough time to get any good at it. So it's been very, very difficult over years to play. But what I like about Crestview Country Club and your situation is you could run out there, then you run right over to your east store for H2O and HTO, I should say, and you're there to do some business. You can take care of things, run right back to the golf course if you wanted. I mean, how perfect is it for you? You got your business, a half a mile away from the golf course?
It's about a half mile.
Yeah, it's not far. So, I mean, man, you got it made, baby. You got it.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
We appreciate
it's great. Yeah.
We appreciate their partnership with this show, and it felt like a good partnership to, you know, check it out. Check it out. See if they've got something
Bingo.
You might be interested. We, you know, my wife plays tennis there all the time. Our
kids say one
do
thing?
Camps and all that stuff.
Let me say one thing, because I know they're a sponsor, and I know that, but I mean, they have other facilities within their complex. I mean, I've actually been to a couple of acting seminars, believe it or not, for theater.
Oh, interesting.
And they have, if you're looking for a place that you need event space. Event
space,
I guess, is the way they would phrase that. It's a great place for those kind of things. They're just really wonderful, wonderful places that are very, you know, perfect for learning things and seminars and that kind of stuff. And I've really enjoyed the time I've spent out there in their classrooms, believe it or not. Now, that coming from me, that's something to think that I'm still in class, huh?
That you've ever been in class.
I've never been in class.
It's surprising.
Yeah.
Ball Royals today, doubleheader. You'll hear most of it with us today on the network. 1 o'clock coverage begins of the first game. It's Brady Singer and Michael Wacha. It's two games against the White Sox. Pretty good opportunity for a doubleheader sweep on the road here, I would think, today. It was a bummer that they didn't get to play last night, but here we go. Brady Singer. I can't wait to see Singer pitch again. He's sort of become that thing to watch early in this season because we all want to know, is this real?
Well,
is it real?
Yeah.
Is Brady Singer for real on this? Like, can he really keep this going? We get a chance against a bad team again today, day baseball, and you get to hear all of it with us. But, you know, doubleheader on a Wednesday, doesn't sound too bad.
No. And by the way, congratulations, Royals. And I'm saying that from the bottom of my heart. The Royals have me getting up in the morning and checking box scores if I didn't see a score that from the night before.
Old school, kicking it old school.
Do you realize how long it's been since the Royals have interested me enough to do that? Well, we're probably going back to the World Series years, but I mean, it's been a while.
Maybe a year or two after that. Yeah.
It's been a minute or two, and all I'm saying is that's encouraging for me. It's just sort of a tradition. You get up, you check the box scores on your phone, and you're ready to go. But I mean, come on, they're making me do it. They're making me do it. And that's a beautiful thing, Jacob.
It is, and it's baseball, and we love baseball. We're very glad we have it back. We're very glad we have relevant baseball back.
Relevant baseball. Well said.
That's right. That's right. When we come back, we'll talk a little more Chiefs draft. We're now 1 week away, Paul, the official from round one. Johnny Furphy is in the NBA draft. We expected this.
Right.
His situation's really, really interesting. We'll tell you why as we come back. We've also got Katie Woods of the NBC World Series on next hour to tell us about a pretty interesting event they have coming up pretty soon. We'll do it all in the second hour, plus your calls to the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Out Loud Mornings with Bob and Tom on 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here we go. Hour number two on the program. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage in for Tommy here on this Wednesday. We are happy to be here with you today. Congratulations to Bill for winning our HTO giveaway of some iced tea and some free rain coffee.
Good job, Bill.
Glad to have the ability to do that for you here. We've got Royals baseball coming up today, so make sure to stay tuned for that. That'll begin. It'll cut Rome just a little bit. Begin at 1 o'clock. You've got a doubleheader. More on the Royals perhaps in just a little bit. A couple of things, Paul, as we are now 1 week away. 1 week from the NFL draft, and the Chiefs pick last. What do they do here? Well, I haven't had your thoughts on it, so I wanted to get that into the mix here with the Rashee Rice situation and what do they need to do to address wide receiver, if anything. We've got Johnny Furphy, who has entered the NBA draft process. So we got a couple of things here to touch on in this hour, I think, and then we'll get to Katie Woods, the NBC rep there is going to tell us about an event they have coming up, NBC World Series. Let's start with Johnny Furphy sort of get an announcement there that we expected. We knew this was coming. Johnny, I don't know if people, we've talked about it. I don't know that people understand, and I don't fully understand, but I have some grasp of Johnny Furphy's situation being different than a lot of college basketball players. So, you know, most of the time, if a guy, I think now what we'll see in college basketball is if you're not a pretty much guaranteed lottery pick for a high-level college basketball player at a big-time program, we're going to see those guys return more often than not because the NIL opportunities will be too good to pass up if you're not given a lot of the guaranteed money of a lottery pick. Johnny Furphy, at one point, was projected into the lottery. Most places do not have him there now. So he slides in most mocks to the back end of the first round. Still good money, right? Still good opportunity, all these things. What Johnny Furphy does not have access to that a lot of players do is the full scope of the NIL because he's an international player. Now, it gets a little tricky, and it's been confusing since the onset here because these are not American citizens. And if I understand it correctly, it's like a work visa issue, right? So, you know, a lot of the time international students aren't allowed to do anything but work on campus when they work or do things that like further their education and whatever it is in that field, right? So he can't really do – like I don't think – so if I understand it correctly, he can't like go and get a car dealership to put him in a commercial and make money that way. Right, to work, I guess, for that car dealership. So that limits his opportunities there. Now, what I think he can still do, I believe, is like being an influencer on social media to some degree, which probably has, I mean, it certainly has some value, but not like the value that a lot of these players are able to get. So he's got a different situation than if this was just an American college basketball player. A lot more goes into weighing out that decision. You can't earn as much as a college athlete if you're an international player as you can an American athlete because of, you know, work visa issues, I think. So now he's got this decision to make. Is back into the first round good enough to pull him away? If he comes back to KU, Paul, it's not hard to imagine him elevating his game up higher into the first round and potentially even into the lottery. But he can't. He's not going to probably be there this year. So he's got a really tough and interesting decision to make when it comes to the NBA draft and potentially returning to KU. There was at one point I had heard, no question he's going to the pros. Then as he's kind of slipped out of the lottery, now it's like, well, maybe, maybe not. Our KU insider, Shreyas Latta, has wondered those things aloud. I don't think it's as much as a sure thing as it was at one point this season. So what do you do here? This is a unique circumstance for Furphy and for KU.
Yeah, this is the long game. I mean, if you're this young man, you're playing the you're playing long ball right now. You're going to do what's best in the future, and that's going to be the NBA. So coming back to the University of Kansas,
well,
that's the way it
or is it elevating your draft status and moving up in the first round to get a whole lot more guaranteed money?
That's the long game in this situation, and it may be that and he's going to have what? Is he said about 5 weeks left before he has to make that decision. So he's got 4 or 5 weeks that he can sit down with people, scouts, organizations, whoever he needs to sit down with, whoever he cherishes their opinion, he can sit down with these people and figure out where he's at. But this is a decision that will affect. I mean, this is a kid, and what's he do well? He shoots the three. We both know the value of the three with regards to the NBA. Ask Steph Curry. How about that? That's a good – there you go. Ask Steph Curry how shooting the three works out for you in the NBA. Pretty darn good, and for an NBA franchise. So with that being said –
he's not that kind of shooter.
But he is an
I mean, he's a good shooter. He's not that kind of shooter.
Okay, Klay Thompson. Is that better? You like that a little better, maybe? Klay Thompson?
He's not that kind of shooter.
Well,
I think he compares well to Grady Dick. I think he compares well to Grady Dick.
Well, but see, that's what we call development. That's what we're talking about. What is best?
Yep.
Who's there with Steph Curry in the world right now? Well, nobody. I'm using him as an example as the importance for a basketball team at the NBA level to be able to shoot the three. It's important. You got to have those kind of people, and he would bring that to an NBA franchise, and that has value. That has real value. It has multi-million dollar value is what it has. So with that being said, he's playing long ball right now. The things that he can do to come back, you know, he's not going to starve on the KU campus if he comes back another year. But I've got a feeling he's going to be told that physically you need to get bigger, stronger, faster, and you will with another year at the University of Kansas. You're going to do those things in the weight room. You're going to get that body that is still rather boyish to becoming a man who can play in the NBA. And I don't see him at this point being physical enough to play in the NBA, which means you're going to end up in the G League. And I don't think that's the best move of all. Would it be better to be in the G League, or would it be better to be playing for the University of Kansas? And I think you get money in the first round.
You're guaranteed your contract, and then in the second round, I'm pretty sure that's not the case. So if you look at it from a financial perspective, he'll make more if he's drafted in the first round next year, certainly, right, than he would coming back to KU without the same NIL opportunities as, let's say, Hunter Dickinson.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So if he was drafted with we'll just call it the last pick of the first round, he's got a chance to make, the scale sets it at, for this year, at about $2 million, going up to about $2.3 million after year three. So what is that, $6 million, right?
Right.
I think that's all guaranteed in the NBA for the first rounders.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
About $6 million, life-changing. Most of us in our lives don't even see that much money.
By
right?
the way, our good friend Dave Phillips, who's a friend of this show, has been on this show numerous times, just sent me a text that Steph Curry shot 38.7% from three-point range his last year in college. There you go.
At Davidson.
Davidson.
But he shot a much, 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 much higher volume. I would have to go back and look. Much higher volume than Johnny Furphy did.
Right.
Now, could Furphy become that kind of three-point shooter? Sure.
I don't think
that's fair.
Well, of course.
Paul, you're talking about the greatest shooter of all time.
He holds the record for the most threes in NBA history. That's saying a lot. I put him what he wants to shoot for. Everybody wants a Steph Curry on their team.
I mean,
not very many are going to have him. But you get my point. The point is he has value. His game lends value to who he is for the NBA. I mean, there's a lot of upside there, Jacob.
You know what? By the way, you know what Steph shot his second year of college?
What's that?
44%.
44%. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well,
and took about 10 a game. Whatever. We don't need to compare Johnny Furphy to Steph Curry. They're not even close to the same player.
But I was using Steph Curry
as
an example of what you want. If you're an NBA franchise, he is not even all NBA.
A Hall of Famer and the greatest shooter of all time.
There you go.
If you're an NBA franchise, you do want that.
We all want that.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So I'm with you.
So Furphy can make, around $6.5 million.
Yes.
I believe as if he were the last pick in the first round. Now, the risk, of course, is if you fall out of the first round, yikes. The risk is there.
Right.
If he were able to come back to KU, and let's just say he plays into the lottery, right? So he makes it, he goes from the 30th pick to the 13th pick.
Sweet.
Okay?
Sweet.
If that happened, then he's going to earn about $12.5 million. Mm. So it'd be about double. Little less than double, and it's the same guarantees and all that stuff. So it gets interesting when you think about risk versus reward for Johnny Furphy. Mm-hmm. If he was getting into the lottery and getting into that kind of money, then it's an easy decision, right?
What would you do, especially if you can't earn NIL. Jacob, what would you do
if you were him
right now?
If I were captain
and
NIL?
If you had to make a decision by the end of the day today, what would you do?
Well, I would need – it's hard to say that because I'd need to know – from teams.
Okay, that's fair. That's
where
fair.
If you're telling me that I'm guaranteed, that I'm absolutely guaranteed to go in the first round,
okay,
and I can't earn a lot in NIL, I would probably say you got to take the money. Now, again, I also don't know his family situation. I don't know if he needs the money. Those are also things we don't know. But if it were me in my situation, in my life, the way I was brought up, in my upbringing, if you told me that you can guarantee me I would make $6 million over 3 years, with the chance to earn more because you're in the NBA if you become a good player and all that stuff, that possibility exists either way you make the decision. But if you're telling me I can be guaranteed to make $6-6.5 million, but nothing would be guaranteed if I come back to college. But if I come back to college and continue on the trajectory, could make maybe double that the next year. I'd take the $6.5 million. I would take the guaranteed first round.
I think he shoots the ball well enough. I gamble on myself, and that's what it is. You're gambling on yourself.
But when you say gamble on yourself, do you mean come back to college and try to elevate your draft status?
I'm going
to
try to elevate into being not only in the lottery
at KU,
at the University of Kansas.
Yeah, you'd come back.
Oh, I wouldn't go into the portal. No. I'm coming back.
No. Right. No, I mean you'd come back to college.
That's what I would do. Sure. Yes. Now that's just me.
I mean, it's really. Would you take the guaranteed $6.5 million now,
or would you
take the risk to earn double that? Because the obvious risk here, Paul, is that Furphy gets hurt.
Sure, of course.
Is that Furphy gets into a different draft class where maybe he's not projected as a first round pick, but is projected as a second round pick,
and now
nothing's guaranteed. I don't know. I it's going to be hard, and obviously like. If he were not an international player, and you could come back and KU can tell you, well, he's going to earn $1 million at KU, then I'd say, still life-changing money, I'm going to go back, right? Like, if that were on the table, I'd go back for sure, because then you have a safety net. I'm not sure how big his safety net can be as an international player, and that's what makes this one unique.
Yeah, it is.
It's easy for Hunter Dickinson to stay at KU. He'll earn more money at KU than he would in the NBA, right? So that becomes an easy decision. For Kevin McCullough, it was an easier decision. Now, had he not got hurt, right, you got to think about it that way. He was in the Naismith conversation before injuries this past year. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be probably a first-round pick last year, so that was an easier decision. You could come back, you can make a bunch of money, you can do all these things. But I don't think Johnny Furphy gets those luxuries. Mm-hmm. He's kind of got to make the call otherwise.
Right.
And I just think, like, if he gets through this process and he is certain that he's going in the first round and his people are certain that he's going in the first round, I don't know how you turn that down.
Well,
hard to turn that down.
You've got a great point, and I get that. And yet, I was fascinated with Furphy throughout the entire season. I kind of watched him as he came in, got more and more playing time, became more confident. And there's just something about this kid to me that I think there's still go. Listen, you and I both know there's a lot of still upside to go with this kid. He's still almost in the boyish phase of his life. Shoot, he's what, 18, 19? I mean, he's very, very young. I don't even think he's 20 yet. So here's a kid that I think there's a lot of upside. I just think I wouldn't normally say, gamble on yourself. If you have, a bird in the hand is worth what? Two in the bush, I guess, is what we would say in this case. But this is a young man. I just get the feeling that he's going to get incrementally better in another season at the University of Kansas. I think I can, and I'm going to make a comment. You can laugh at me if you want. Johnny Furphy could become the player of the year in the Big 12.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, in 1 year as a sophomore, I think that's maybe a stretch, but
possible.
There's no question
but
he'll
it's
get
possible,
there's no
it?
question.
There's
no question he'll get better,
yeah.
Right? Like
right.
We just see it too often with players like him with Bill Self. They stay a while and they get really, really good.
Maybe
now,
Jacob. Maybe I like the kid more than the average. Maybe,
no, I don't think maybe, you do. We're all big fans. We can all
I
see
like
the upside.
Kid. Upside on this kid. I like it.
His talent and his upside oozes. I mean, it just does.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It just absolutely does. And there is risk in both ways. So
there is.
He's got to. I mean, it's a decision that
right.
We'll watch very, very closely. I'm fascinated by it.
Oh,
I don't
too.
Know what to expect there.
Oh, I am fascinated
because
by this.
I don't think there's a correct answer. I think it's all just risk management.
That's right. No,
as
there,
much
there
as
there
anything
is.
Else. And yeah. We'll see. And it'll obviously impact what KU does because, do they at that point need to bring in another player?
Gotcha.
We'll keep our eye on it. It's a long process, and we're probably not going to know till the very end. So there's that for you, 869-1240 on the IHOP hotline. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Chiefs draft 1 week away. 1 week. What do they do with that first-round pick if Paul Savage is in the chair? I think you know what I would do. I think I've made that abundantly
right.
clear here, but we'll revisit that. And Do they need to do something, whether the draft otherwise, with this Rashi Rice situation? We'll continue to ponder that as we make our way through this midweek edition of Sports Daily. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. We got the Royals coming up a little later today. Talking Kansas City Chiefs, of course, home of Kansas City Chiefs right here on KFH. Paul, they got the number 32 pick. We're a week away from the draft. What do they do? Rashi Rice's situation continues to loom. He'll almost certainly face a suspension. People wondered if they needed to attack wide receiver in the first round with that pick anyway. I've told you on these airwaves that I feel like they need to be ready to identify and attack left tackle. If there's a player they really like at that position and they're in a position to move up and take that player, I think it's time to do that. They have shown us in recent years they are good evaluators of offensive linemen, so if they evaluate one that way, let's be done with left tackle. It would leave a hole at wide receiver. I would say they should fill in with a veteran. What's interesting is this week Andy Reid talked about a lot of things. It's their start of their voluntary offseason, you know, whatever. And Kadarius Toney was brought up, and Andy Reid and the Chiefs continue on the path of calling him probably one of their most talented players. I wonder if we need to at least consider as we
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Under wide receiver that maybe Kadarius Toney, or to a lesser degree Sky Moore, could take a step forward this year. Or should we be so jaded by what we saw last year that that doesn't even enter the realm of possibility? Well, how do you handle that with those two guys?
Well, that is a very interesting situation. And, of course, there's a lot of factors that you and I don't know about. You made an interesting comment, though, I must say, that you said, you know, even before the Rice situation that we would be looking at taking the first pick with a receiver with the first pick, even before the Rice situation. And it's as darn sure as we're sitting here doing this radio show that there's going to be some suspension time. There's going to be some fallout from this whole thing. We both understand that and we get that. It's just that's just going to be the way it is. So I'm almost of the feeling is that I like your offensive lineman challenge. I like it. I understand what you're saying. I know what you're thinking, but aren't there some holes in the receiver core right now that need to be tightened up? And there's going to be several, you know, there's going to be several really decent picks that will be available with the last pick of the first round. A Jalen Polk, or I doubt if he'll be but he might be in an Adonis Mitchell or somebody like that, receiver out of Texas. There's going to be some of those kind of guys. Jacob, I think – you've got to make sure your receiver core is solid. And I think you got to take a receiver. Now, that's just where I'm at. But, man, oh, man, am I sympathetic to your offensive lineman. I know where you're coming. I know the frustration that you're feeling right this very moment as to what to do. And I'm with you. I get it. But I think the urgency of the receiving core is probably the biggest issue on this football team by far. At this point, I could be wrong, but that's kind of the way
you
the
don't
feeling
think that. I mean, they don't have right now. Wanya Morris is their left tackle.
All right, I got you.
I mean, they're at their last year's backup left tackle is right now penciled in to be their left tackle. Mm-hmm. You good with that?
Well, and I get your point because to go to veterans and fill a couple of spots is it easier to find a receiver with a veteran, or is it easier to find an offensive tackle with a veteran? I'm going to say that it's going to be easier to find that receiver.
Really?
Well, don't you think?
I don't. Well, So that's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question.
So they obviously identified Rashi Rice well. He was great. Right?
That's right.
So
that's
they
great.
Did a good job in his evaluation.
So. I think you're right.
They did not do a good job in Sky Moore's evaluation. They did not do a good job in Kadarius Toney's evaluation for as a trade mm-hmm. candidate. Mm-hmm. So they kind of got mixed reviews on right. their evaluations of receivers. Tyreek Hill was good. Mecole right. Hardman was not. So I don't know the answer to that. I would tell you, though, with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and evaluating Joe Tooney out on the market, in recent years they have been really good at evaluating offensive linemen. And so, again, this all comes down to their board, Paul. Like, I'm not saying they need to reach on anything. They should never reach on anything. But if they identify the left tackle, let's just say this. They have on their board, they have a left tackle and a wide receiver, both identified as players they really like. Now, in order to get either of those players, they would have to move up and trade some draft capital to get either of them.
All right.
And they evaluate them the same way. I would say take the and prioritize the left tackle.
Well, I can certainly see that. And I'm not going to say you're crazy, but I can also know what – I mean, we have been talking about the receiver position for how long now? I mean, it's been, what, a year? Remember all the drop passes started basically with that, where all of a sudden you go an entire position – where you have no confidence. I don't know that the entire confidence has been built back or not. I mean, there's just some things that perceive need to be fixed.
Yeah.
About
everything they've invested already at receiver, Paul. Rashi Rice was an early pick. Sky Moore was an early pick. I think that, what did they trade, a third for Kadarius Toney? Like, they continue to invest at that position. Do they need to really do that again?
Well,
until
they get it right, Jacob, maybe they do.
What about until they get left tackle right?
Well, that's
Orlando Brown didn't work. You know, they've tried to bring in these right tackles that aren't, you know, Juwan Taylor that aren't making it as left tackles, and like Donovan Smith was okay, but like they've been trying to get left tackle right for like ever.
Well, it seems
so.
Yeah.
You know, like, and again, the problem with these things are, because I can't sit here and tell you what I think about the left tackles of this class. I have no idea, right? I can tell you more about what I think of the wide receivers in the class, right? I'm not always right about that. I loved Quentin Johnston, for instance. I'm biased. I watched him play. Of course, I'm going to gravitate to him because he played at TCU and in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. So the most interesting thing is obviously how they evaluate these positions and people, right? That's what really matters. But if it's, you know, apples to apples and they really like a couple of these players, if I'm picking the greater position of need and the likelihood of addressing it in the draft, go look at the free agent left tackles out there. Not a lot there, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Go look at the free agent wide receivers still out there.
Right.
There's a lot there.
And if
there's a lot.
If I was going to help you with your case, and your case that tackles what you need, I would ask the question, I would start out every conversation with this. Just how important is Patrick Mahomes' health? How
exactly.
How important do you think that is, Jacob? I kind of think it's fairly important. Now, that's just me. But I think it's fairly important. How important is it that we keep him from taking hits? Because when you take hits, bad things eventually happen, don't they? And so if you phrase the question like this, all of a sudden I start getting really sympathetic to what you're saying. It doesn't take long for me to switch over and think, you know something? Patrick Mahomes is kind of important to this football team. I think maybe we ought to do whatever it takes to keep him healthy. We'll worry about the other. You know, you still got good quality NFL receivers that you can go get. Are they Marvin Harrison quality? And I use it both as the father and the son, as a number one draft pick and a guy who's all pro year after year. Those two Marvin Harrisons. Do we have those kind? Maybe we don't have Marvin Harrison quality receivers at this point. But maybe you go get them. Maybe you find them. You go develop them. Maybe you trade for them. Maybe you pick one up on free agency. I don't know. Maybe you pick one up when they start making cuts, because there's always some good receivers that are cut just basically by numbers on certain teams. So maybe that's the way you do it. You know, when I ask myself, is Patrick Mahomes important to keep healthy? You know, I'm almost convinced, Jacob, I hate to say this, I'm almost convincing myself that maybe you're right. I'm starting to convince myself. I see your point, because, baby, when you phrase it with Patrick Mahomes in the question, it kind of changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he is everything.
He is everything.
It's just like, it's interesting to me to continue to run out there and not be confident in that position specifically. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, just right? How good would Patrick Mahomes be with the offensive line of, say, the Ravens? I mean, pretty damn good, if you ask me.
Well, he rolls around, he makes it work, but he also makes it work with wide receiver.
Right.
You know, I just, and again, they may, if they love and are absolutely just enamored with a receiver, and then you take him, and you don't move around, you don't
right.
do anything. I just think if there is a tackle that they love, go get him this year. Like, make it happen and be done with that.
Yeah.
And you can go get a free agency wide receiver. All right, Katie Woods of the NBC World Series going to join us, tell us about an event they have coming up just on the other side of things. So we'll have that conversation for you as we make our way through Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you on this Wednesday. Event coming up this weekend as it pertains to the NBC World Series. Getting ready for 90 years, 90th year coming up. Katie Woods joining us to help talk to us about that event. Katie, welcome in. How are you? Welcome into Sports Daily.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Looking forward to the weather turning. Baseball season is here. You guys have another great NBC World Series coming up this summer. But before that, you guys have an event on, what is that? That's this weekend. That's on Sunday over at the Candle
yes.
Club. Tell us about, you know, this 90th year celebration event that's coming ahead of the tournament this year.
Yeah, you know, with it being the 90th, which is just crazy to have the NBC and all the baseball history for 90 years here in Wichita, we really wanted to start to kind of get more alumni engaged again. You know, we always talk about 900 alumni that have gone on to play in the major leagues that came through the NBC, but there's also thousands of alumni, you know, that have gone on to do other things, not play baseball, and all these people who've been involved with the tournament for decades. So we really wanted a chance to kind of get everybody together and celebrate as we head into the 90th tournament.
Well, it's just amazing. 90 years, it's hard to believe. I remember going to my first game in 1935 and watching that game, and it was a lot of fun. Jacob, that was just for you. That was an old guy joke, okay? Come on now. But anyway, you know, you've come along so far, and it's really, really great. But you know, the one thing I like about you guys and what you do with the NBC is you don't forget the past. The past is so mm-hmm. important to the NBC, and that's the one thing. Whether it's been you, or whether it's been leadership with Jerry Taylor, or any of the other guys that have been in charge of the NBC, you guys don't forget the past. And I'm telling you, that's what makes the NBC so great.
Yeah, it's really special. I mean, you know, one of the stories I like to tell people is last year, Mike Harkey, who's a bench coach for the Yankees, was inducted into our Hall of Fame. And so I went up to Kansas City to go give him his Hall of Fame ring box and certificate last year when the Yankees came down to play the Royals. And he's coached with the Yankees, I think, 14 years, something like that. And the first thing he says to me is, "My two summers in Wichita, best summers of my life." And I'm sitting there going, "You coached for the Yankees for 14 years. That can't be the best two summers of your life." But the NBC means so much to so many people. And there's just such great memories and such stories that it's really important, I think, that we celebrate the past and keep that going.
So you've got some of these alumni, whether it be coaches, players, umpires, team executives, I'm seeing here reconnecting and sharing mm-hmm. some of those stories. Any you know, exciting names that people might recognize or get excited about? Is that what you guys are going to have some of these people there at this event? Is that correct?
Yeah. So, you know, really we focused on Wichita and the local in Kansas alumni. So Nate Robertson will be there, Brent Chemnitz from Wichita State, you know, some of those Wichita baseball. Is royalty too strong of a word? Those names that everybody knows.
No, it's not. It's not.
And then it's, really fun because, no, not for those two. And then when you talk about, the past, we've been able to connect with some of our Hall of Famers who have passed on with some of their children and grandchildren. Bobby Boyd is one who played for the Dreamliners. And his daughter and grandson, we were able to reconnect with recently and kind of talk more about. He's in the Negro League Baseball Hall of Fame. He's in the NBC Hall of Fame. So how do we bring all those stories and all that history to the next generation? So that's kind of what we're hoping to do with events like this.
Well, and that's really great. I mean, because the Hall of Fame, when you look, and by the way, anybody listening to this conversation, hop online and go to the NBC website. And click on the Hall of Fame, and you're going to go through. You're going to see baseball royalty, Katie. I'm not exaggerating, am I? You're going to see baseball royalty all the way from Satchel Paige to numerous Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Famers, and then of course you'll see some of the great names of Kansas baseball. And there'll be names that you don't know, but who had great runs in the 40s and 50s and 60s with teams like Anchorage, teams like. The merchants, teams like just teams that you may not be familiar with, but it's such a rich history, and the NBC Hall of Fame is kind of that collector of all, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's one of those things is we've got Ozzie Smith or Whitey Herzog who passed away yesterday, who are in those first kind of classes of Hall of Fames for us, but there's also so many people locally. So one thing that we're encouraging is. If you played or coached in the tournament, no matter if it was 1 year or 10, on our website, we have an alumni registration form. It's free just to kind of reconnect. So to put what teams you played for, what years. So you just go to nbcbaseball.com to register as an alumni. And it's so fun because, we get alumni registering every day and there's teams I've never heard of. I mean, there's teams that played, 1 year and that was it, or played a couple of years and that was it. And then there's some of those teams that, Cape Girardeau and Anchorage, like you talked about, who were kind of the mainstays for years.
So, Katie, the event this weekend is at the Candle Club, right? And what do people need to know detail-wise? How can they get tickets? What's the timing on this? I see 4 to 7. Is that right on Sunday at the Candle Club?
Yep, 4 to 7 Sunday at the Candle Club. You can get your tickets at nbcbaseball.com. We're going to have food, open bar, lots of great conversations and stories. There'll be live music. And then one thing I think is really special, too, is we've been working with Butler Creative, the video production team up at Butler, and they're going to be there in one of the back rooms capturing interviews and stories with people so that you've got a chance to tell your NBC story, and we've got a chance to capture those stories on video too. So that's one thing that we're excited about for Sunday.
Can I give a real quick plug?
Did you say open bar there, Katie?
Oh, for God's sakes. You're a tea drinker. You ought to know that.
Just making sure.
It's a baseball event, so,
it's a baseball event. There'll be booze there, Jacob. It's a baseball. And by the way, if you have any interest, and the reason I bring this up is my son, as you know, for many, many years has been a volunteer out with the NBC. But you're also looking to score. I'm assuming you can still use some volunteers for the tournament itself coming up this summer. I'm assuming you're looking for them at this point still. So if you want to volunteer, there's still a way. There's still plenty of time to volunteer to be a part of the NBC this year.
Yep, we've got that information up on the website too. So
good.
NBCBaseball.com is it for everything, but. We're a nonprofit organization, and so a lot of when we get to our ticket takers and our ushers and everything like you're talking about is volunteers. So we would love to have anybody that wants to come out and help, whether it's for a game, a day, the whole tournament. We would love it.
Well, Katie, I hope everything is going well as you guys get ready for not only the NBC World Series, but that event this weekend. Sounds like a blast. Again, it's Sunday, 4 to 7. You can get tickets. Just go to the NBC website there, Candle Club. A lot of fun, and we appreciate your time here, and hopefully it's a great event, and hopefully we get another great NBC World Series this summer.
I think it'll be great. And I also, we've got special guests, special gifts for all of our guests too. Our event on Sunday is put on by Prairie Fire Coffee Roasters.
Oh, wow.
So we've got some fun gifts for all of our attendees on Sunday too.
Got it.
We appreciate that. Prairie Fire keeps us fueled up here at KFH also. Katie, good luck this summer. Good luck this weekend. Appreciate some time there with Katie Woods of the NBC World Series. Get out there and check that out if you've got some time this weekend. Mm-hmm. And if you're a baseball fan, certainly. Paul, we're baseball fans.
Oh, gosh.
We got the Royals coming up here pretty quick today.
I'm going to make a request. Can I make a request, W?
Okay.
I'm going to do it on air. Normally we would do this behind closed doors, but I'm going to make a request because I think you're going to say yes. At some time through the course of this summer, and you know we're always looking for things to fill our time in the summer. It's not as easy as in the fall with football going on and all that kind of stuff. But you know something? Let's get a Steve Shad or maybe a couple of guys come into the studio on a Wednesday when I'm here and Tommy's here. We'll get somebody come in. I would love to do a walk down history lane with history of the NBC. Is that that's not a bad idea, is it?
No, I mean, especially as we get closer to the event. Yeah,
Wouldn't that be fun to talk about, you know, to talk about the Bobby Boyds of the world, or even talk about how Satchel Paige ended up in Wichita for two or three summers playing baseball at the NBC. Satchel Paige, Jacob. I mean, I think if we could get somebody in, we could have a ball walking down memory lane with the NBC and who's been in this town and who has played baseball here. I mean, it's a who's who list of baseball. Let me work on it. Can I work on that for us?
Yeah, and you know, Paul, you're an expert. You've seen all 90 of these things, right?
That's right. I remember the first pitch thrown.
First pitch in back in whatever year
1935, Jacob. 1935.
That's right. Yeah. Makes it 90 years this year, doesn't it?
It does.
So we got Royals today. Paul, I know we talked about this last week, but we've seen another week. Salvi looks like he's going to be okay. Was not going to be in the starting lineup yesterday, by the way, but he was going to be available off the bench. Mm-hmm. So we think that his status is okay. Mm-hmm. How excited are you allowing yourself to be on April 17th?
Well, I'm letting myself be. And by the way, I saw that play live. I saw it when it happened. And you know,
Sunday, yeah.
I saw that.
You thought it was worse, didn't it?
I did.
You thought it was worse.
I thought it was worse. I thought it was worse because I saw it live. And there's nobody in the room watching TV with. I'm watching it by myself, and I go, "Oh no!" I mean, just like that loud, in a room by myself, and I thought to myself, "Oh my gosh!" And then he walked, and I mean, but it sounds like there's still some problems. I don't know what they're. I guess we'll find out. But I thought to myself, you just can't lose a guy like Salvi. I mean, here the Royals are. They're in the top half of their division. They're playing well. They're, what, four or five games over 500 from a day or two ago. I mean, golly, and then this happens. And, gosh, it just sort of took my breath away. You hate to see that. And all you're wanting is Salvi be okay and get back onto the field because that team needs him. Of all,
and him, he is. He's okay. It he's sounds okay. like he's all right.
But yeah, that's right. And that's what. But you know, it's. I still want to see him play, and I worry about it because catchers. It's a unique position. You know, with the bent knees. You know, you wonder why catchers, long-term catchers in baseball, when they hit about 60, start wobbling and limping a little. There are a lot of bending of the, there are a lot of bending of the knees. And that kind of thing. So, but I'm glad he's back. And boy, it was a scary moment. Scary moment.
Well, it was, and it begs the question. And we talked about it earlier in the week. How much catching should the Royals let Salvi do then this year?
Well, that's a good question. I wasn't on the show when you talked about that. That's a darn good question. That's a very what is he 31, 32, something like that. I believe that's.
He is either. Yeah, let me pull up his exact age because I don't want to say the wrong thing because it does matter. He is 33.
33. There you go. Okay.
That's 33. I can't remember when his birthday was. Okay, I couldn't remember if he had turned or not. But yes, he's 33.
All right. Well, and that's worrisome. But anyway, you get my point. But, you know, he's the glue. He is basically the glue of that locker room, of that team. I mean, I mean, he's the glue on the field. I mean, everything, you know, comes out from the catcher. I mean, he's the leader on the field. So, you know, I'm glad he's okay. I'll be glad to see him play a few games and get it behind him, and then I'll know. But, you know, the Royals are fun to watch. I mean, I'm watching them more than I've watched them in a long time, Jacob.
Well, there's no question they're fun to watch. The question is, how excited are you letting yourself get about their prospects this year?
I'm cautious. I'm optimistic. Guarded. But I'm cautious. Yeah, guarded is a very good way of putting it. Thank you, Jacob. Yes, okay. I'm guarded.
Yeah.
I don't want disappointment. Have the Royals ever disappointed me? Yes. Does the sun come up every day? Yes. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm getting there. Well, people that listen here know I'm pretty excited about them. You can hear them both games today right here. We'll tell you more about that and what else you can hear on the network as we wrap up Sports Daily next.